I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We could go on an entire journey through the forest and over the hills and down in the valleys and across the ponds of all the things that have been said and done on the Astros front since we last spoke on Friday. It really is crazy. But I guess you have to start with Rob Manfred's interview on ESPN, where he said it was clear as day that Houston cheated, and he defended the decision to punish the Astros players in a way they have been punished. In fact, Tom, if you could grab that cut, Manfred defends the decision to not punish them because he says that it takes nerve, essentially, for us to act like these players have gotten away with this. Because if you just look at them, you can tell that they have absolutely paid a price.
The one thing that I do take issue with, the notion that anybody in the Houston organization escaped without punishment. And I think if you look at the faces of the Houston players as they've been out there publicly addressing this issue, they have been hurt by this. They will live with questions about what went on in 2017 and 2018 for the rest of their lives. And frankly, it's rare that for any offense, you have a punishment that you will live with for the rest of your life. So I, you know, hope the questions will at least take into account those two thoughts.
Okay, I've taken them into account, and now I want to know, why aren't they being suspended?
Yeah, so A.J. Hinch didn't have to have the same thought punishment?
That's somehow what, still got suspended.
It's not what Carlos Beltran or Cora or Luno? They don't have the same thought punishment?
No, they had to wear that, too. They had to go to bed knowing that. They had to think about that the rest of their lives. They just all lose their jobs because of it.
What a bunch of nonsense. I was
shocked by that answer. Not a lot of this stunned me, because he understands, I think, there's hot water here. He feels the heat. He sees the blowback. I thought he was going to be super calculated. He had months to prepare for this. He's a sharp guy. That answer was really bad. It was one of the two that he gave that I just couldn't fathom. It was that and the piece of metal. You know, the World Series is a piece of metal. I'm not going to take that away from them. It's basically get over it. We're talking about a piece of metal. You're the commissioner of baseball. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What are you saying?
The reason that people correctly, by the way, have bristled at what the Astros owner and now Rob Manfred have said is a very simple thing. There's an attempt to insult our intelligence. There are these flimsy House of Cards-style attempts to tell us that we're not seeing what we've seen and dismiss our inquiries as ludicrous. We're nuts for asking these questions. We've addressed this. We've moved on. We've already changed direction here. We've got something bigger and brighter in store. And Crane's answers were just offensive to anybody with half a brain that aren't Astros fans. And Manfred, frankly, has been worse as the guy that seems every day, it seems more and more like just those two guys got together, decided on a couple scapegoats and hoping this would go away.
Crane made me more angry because I think Manfred's coming from a tougher spot where there's no right way to do this for him.
I agree with that.
I think he picked the more wrong of the options, but there was no right option. Whereas Crane is just the guy that runs the team that cheated. I mean, there's nothing I can say to him.
He's like, we punished the leadership. Well, you're the leader. Don't you think I should be punished? No, I don't think I should be punished at all.
This is not about me.
It's not about leadership. We punish the leadership.
Dusty Baker has already basically pleaded that Manfred steps in immediately if his players are getting hit, and he's asking for Major League Baseball to watch over the Astros and to take care of them. This feels kind of to me like, and I understand why he's asking for it, an attorney saying, hey, my client going to jail is going to get beat up. Like, please look out for
right.
This guy. And Manfred saying, yeah, no one will touch him on my watch, which is where it just seems like he's kind of getting in the foxhole with the Astros. Whether that's right or wrong, he protected the players, gave them immunity. He's now defending them and saying they absolutely feel bad. There's certainly remorse. And now he's saying he'll protect them from hit by pitches and beanball as well.
I think that the back and forth that's gone on is not healthy. This is another topic on which we're trying to be proactive. I met with half the managers, the Florida contingent, before I came out here to speak to you guys. I'll meet with the other half in Arizona. I hope that I made it extremely clear to them that retaliation in game by throwing at a batter intentionally will not be tolerated, whether it's Houston or anybody else. It's dangerous, and it is not helpful to the current situation.
Agree with that comment. Agree with all of that. But know that you have become a villain, and it looks like you are on the Astros' side here, that you are making them out to be some victim when you start talking about this. Baseball forever has policed itself, though I don't have to agree with the way that it polices itself. But players are not happy, and you've made many of these players unhappy. You've created this issue in a lot of ways.
Yes.
If Rob Manfred would have suspended these players, a lot of this wouldn't be happening. Nick Markakis wouldn't be saying that they deserve to be beat down. Cody Bellinger wouldn't be as furious as he is. One after another, Justin Turner on down. The players who have publicly scrutinized what he said and what he did as the commissioner, at the least, the rhetoric and the tone would have been tampered, and it wouldn't be nearly as vitriolic and angry and as divisive as it is. People are mad because they got away with this scot-free.
We are the people that are supposed to police the game. That's what the commissioner's office is. That's what they're doing. You suspend people for wrongdoing.
You guys don't get to police it. We police it, except you didn't.
We'll leave it to the players to police this one, and now I'd like to say I'd be mad at players for policing this one. Again, this is pathetic. I understand that his hands are tied. Okay, I'm not naive. I wasn't born yesterday. I understand this is a difficult situation, and hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake. CBA negotiations, the backroom deals with both ownership and players, and player contracts and the players' union. There's bigger stuff here than simply saying, "Hey, these guys did wrong. We're going to suspend them." You're getting into legal potential here with a whole bunch of stuff. I understand his hands are tied. I know why all this is happening, but he keeps spinning these plates. Or keeps doing this tap dance in front of the car fire and saying, the car's not on fire. The car's not on fire. Yes, it is. The car is on fire. Please address that fact. There's got to be a happy medium between him telling us the real truth, which is I can't punish these players because we can't figure out who did what. I gave them immunity.
It's too hard to do.
And it's not in the CBA versus whatever this is. This is ridiculous.
I don't think it has anything to do with the CBA. I just think it was so difficult. He took the easy way out, and it has blown up all over. His office at this point, and there's papers and debris everywhere, and he's trying to dig his way out of it. This was Manfred when asked if there should be an asterisk on the title and why he didn't do more to actually make sure that people knew that they did cheat, and that's how they won the World Series, and it's not their championship anymore.
Once you have a situation in which the 2017 World Series will always be looked at as something different, whether or not you put an asterisk or ask for the trophy back, it just, I don't think it makes that much difference. I think we did what we should do. That was we found the facts and we were transparent about them.
He says he did what they should have done. He went on to say, by the way, in a cut after that, and kind of as he continued talking, basically that he feels good about the resolution they came to, even if everyone else doesn't. I don't know how that could be the case. Seeing the turmoil in every spring training facility all over the country, I don't know how he could feel that way. Here's how bad the punishment has been received. Even Mike Trout has a negative opinion on it. Trout, who is, no disrespect to him, one of the least interesting professional athletes of all time, has never been opinionated or said really anything against the grain on any subject. Mike Trout talking about the Astros.
It's tough because you don't know, what helped him, what not, but if you know what's coming, it's going to definitely help you. I think that's, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see for sure.
Trout would go on to say it's sad for the sport. They were not punished enough. How about Cody Bellinger, Tommy? Bellinger came out, went really hard. Started this whole thing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I think, the first guy that made it seem like it was okay to vet publicly against the Astros. To which Carlos Correa came back at him with a bunch of refutes to the things that he said and rebuttals and basically said, shut the bleep up. You don't know what you're talking about. One of his claims was He said that Jose Altuve stole the MVP award from Aaron Judge because Altuve was cheating with the cheating Astros the year he won the Most Valuable Player award. Bellinger, after Correa said basically take it back, this guy was clean. He was one of the few guys that didn't like doing this. He got mad when they banged the trash can when he was hitting. Now you can look up the numbers at how often the trash can got hit when he was batting. Bellinger says, I'm not taking anything back.
I said what was on my mind, and that's how I feel. And I don't regret anything that I said.
Anything that he said make you second guess or change your opinion?
No.
You said get the facts. Do you want the facts?
It's the first time we heard some facts, you know, in some aspects of what happened. So that'd be nice to get some facts getting out there.
Great take. He's right.
Yeah.
That interview with Correa, like it or not, like his demeanor or not, that was the most helpful, crystallizing, transparent conversation, even if it was somewhat misleading and maybe some of it wasn't all truth. We learned more in his angry rebuttal to Cody Bellinger, I really believe this, than we have at any point at all.
At least somebody addressed something.
Yes.
Yeah, no, nobody's addressed.
Finally.
2016, nobody's addressed the Wall Street Journal's thorough report about everything that went down with Codebreaker, the dark arts, the daily grind of interpreting signs.
The front office created decoding systems that allowed them to basically punch these things into a code and figure out how to do it.
We've addressed so far an internet rumor about buzzers and like one freeze frame of a picture where somebody's got a bulge in their you know, around their shoulder of their jersey. We've addressed, you know, Jose Altuve's tattoo and shirt gate. We don't have the ongoing transgressions yet. But slowly but surely, these things are coming out.
The Dodgers are the most mad because they lost the 2017 World Series
from
Bellinger, who's their MVP, to Justin Turner, who was on that 17 team and is still in that infield.
We understand how difficult it is, you know, to win a World Series. It's hard. It's really hard. And it's something that you have to earn. And obviously, you know, as the report showed, as all these guys from their club over there are coming back and apologizing and, you know, trying to make amends for it, it's pretty evident to me that it wasn't earned. And it's not something that, you know, a banner should be hung in their stadium. A trophy should be put up wherever their trophies go, you know. They shouldn't have, World Series championship is earned, and it defines careers. It defines people's careers.
I don't know how you can disagree with any of that. I mean, it's not a hot take. It was just pretty well-reasoned. Your thoughts on the continued fallout for the Astros, the Correa interview, Bellinger or Trout or any of the other comments, including Chris Sale saying that pitchers are going to be hitting these guys all season long. Anything you saw from Manfred over the weekend, there's a lot of ground to cover. 800-636-1067. We could do that. Plus, a really scary scene last night on national television. A petrifying crash at the Daytona 500. We haven't gotten into that yet. We can give our thoughts on the fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The latest player to have his presence felt on the Astros cheating is Nick Markakis. Been in the big league since 2006. Longtime vet. What they did was BS, except he said the actual words.
Sure, yeah.
Except he didn't say fudge. He said the word, the mother of all words. Every single guy over there deserves a beating. It's a pretty strong quote. The commissioner completely handled it the wrong way. The way he handled the situation, he should be embarrassed of himself. But we'll get into the very scary scene at the Daytona 500 last night. The videos of that crash. Wow, is that
hard to
scary.
Watch, man.
That is petrifying. It is stunning. not that he walked away, but that you can be in that car, take on that contact, and if you're Ryan Newman, that you are still alive and while in serious condition, obviously. Haven't yet heard all the specifics of his injuries. He's expected to live. What an amazingly built vehicle. I mean, what they do to keep those guys alive in those cars to allow for a crash like that to not kill you,
mm-hmm.
I can't even fathom. Don's in Ashburn, though, wants to hop in on the Astros for a second. Don, what a weekend. I mean, from every angle, everyone's got an opinion on this thing. It's not going away anytime soon.
No, it's not. Good afternoon, fellas. So I think when you look at this, I don't understand how you can't look at it from an individual player breaking a rule. And, Danny, you might be able to shed a little bit on this, a little more on this, too, that a pitcher using a foreign substance on a baseball, I believe, gets ejected immediately and a 10-game suspension. How a team can go and play with this kind of advantage all the way through two and win in a World Series and players not be held accountable by losing a number of games, I don't get it. I do not understand that at all.
I don't either. And you could suspend a guy for cheating in the form of performance-enhancing drugs for 81 games.
Absolutely.
For a season. This is a larger form of cheating, in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of players, by the way. I'm not alone in thinking that, and these guys are going to get nothing. It says everything you need to know right there. I want guys suspended for steroids, for performance-enhancing. I want guys suspended for the masking agents and the different illicit drugs that they're getting through nefarious means and putting in their bodies. That's right. Get rid of the cheating. This is worse cheating. This is more pronounced cheating. This is the kind of cheating that we've never seen before. Performance-enhancing drugs have taken a million different forms over the years in baseball, whether it was amphetamines, whether it was steroids, whether it was HGH, whether it was the cream, the clear, everything in between. This has never happened before. There weren't Apple Watches in the 1960s. They didn't have that. There weren't two coffee pots marked Apple Watch or trash can bang because of spy-level surveillance equipment. This is the largest cheating that's ever happened, and they're going to get nothing for it. Nothing.
Yeah, but the getting nothing, I think, is what is so important, right? I don't think the players around baseball are as angry in general at them cheating this way as compared to another way.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, the caller mentioned using a substance on the ball. I got news for you. Every pitcher's using something. And I won't say every pitcher.
Lots of pitchers are a big word.
Lots of pitchers are using something. And you're not really supposed to ask umpires to check and to send anyone out to the mound, because your guys are doing it too. I tell a story all the time about Jeremy Hellickson. He was pitching for the Phillies against the Nats. And you could see he was wiping his arm and he had something on it. And I'm asking why they didn't do anything. And they say, because you don't do that, because you got your own guys that are using different things for grip. It's just kind of one of those things that you shouldn't do, but everyone's doing it and we all know it. I think stealing signs with technology is being done with other teams as well. Not in game. Not like the Astros did it. I think the big difference is they're doing it and they're decoding with camera and they're doing it like they watch film of a pitcher or a catcher for the next game or the next couple games to help themselves out at second base. So these fine lines, and that's why I don't think just in and of itself, players despise what the Astros did just because they cheated that way. I think what they're so mad about is that this team won a World Series,
mm-hmm.
has a chance to become the first team to ever win 100 games four straight years because there is a lack of contrition. Because these guys are basically playing heels and wrestling where they come out and point to their championship banner and say, we won that and you have to own it. You know, you got Bregman, who nobody likes anyway. Correa and Altuve, and you're just not getting the answers you want. You got Correa telling Cody Bellinger to shut the bleep up. I think the way they've handled this is making people more angry. And the number one reason to come back to what your last answer ended with, they didn't serve a day of a suspension. If everyone on that team, current and past, got 30 or 40 game suspensions, I really do believe this would be really, really different.
Yeah. I think it would be almost over now.
We're here.
100%. 100%. And I know how we got here. This is, again, the failing of leagues as investigative bodies. This really goes, well, we can't figure out what to do. I'll just give the players immunity. That's the worst thing that Manfred could have done. You find your facts. The Wall Street Journal found facts. Commission them to do your report for you.
Here's Nick Markakis. This was this morning. Everyone's been talking about this line of thinking.
It angers you, especially from a guy who has played the game the right way his whole career. No shortcuts. I know how hard this game is. I know how hard preparing for this game is. And to see something like that, it's damaging to baseball.
You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it. You know, there's a lot of people that were hurt by it. And it was wrong. And I think the punishment and everything, I think just everything has been taken, everything's been handled the wrong way. You know, you got two guys that are sitting at home that you can kind of, you know, give them a little bit of leeway. And they're not in the game right now. And then you got the players who did it who are scot-free. You know, I know there's a lot of political stuff behind it, but, you know, it's wrong. You don't want to see that. You know, everybody's out there competing and trying to do things the right way. And when you got guys like that, it's pretty sad. You know, those guys have a lot of talent over there, but to take it to that level is wrong. You know, it's I know as players we do not agree with what they did. We don't stand behind them, and never will we support them for their actions. And I think they got off pretty easy. You know, they're going to be able to go out there and compete with no ramifications at all, which is wrong. And I think the commissioner completely handled it the wrong way. But, you know, that's the way he did it. And, you know, that's the way we got to live with it. But, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with him. And the way he handled the situation, he should be embarrassed of himself.
Nick Markakis, he should be embarrassed of himself, he said about Rob Manfred. 2,117 games played with the Orioles and the Braves over 14 years talking there. So much for players not coming out strong against the Astros because of how prevalent this situation is around baseball. Remember, that's what we heard.
Yep.
You're not going to hear players that upset or that angry because a lot of teams are doing something similar. Maybe not. I don't think you come out and you act this angry if you're doing something comparable to that in your clubhouse.
Yeah, you wouldn't think the Dodgers are doing this from the way how hard they've gone, despite rumors out there that they are or they
right.
have been.
Exactly. Grant and Danny on the Fan, still to come in our final half hour. The frightening scene at the Daytona 500, a horrific crash last night. The D.C. Defenders are 2-0. How have they become the best team in the XFL through two games? And the NBA All-Star festivities were a smash hit in Chicago as Kobe Bryant was honored.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In a shower of sparks on his roof, Ryan Newman comes across the line for it.
Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon on Fox, who you just heard from on the highlight on the way in there. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I was not watching the Daytona 500. It's not that I've never watched them in the past. I was doing cap stuff. Otherwise, I probably would have been watching. I like NASCAR. I like the big races. I don't watch them intently or intensely, but I kind of cash in here and there casually. I love night races. The Richmond night race is awesome. I've been to it. I just like the way the cars glisten in high definition going around the tracks. I think aesthetically,
it's cool.
It's one of the best things we have on the immaculate televisions that we have now is night racing. I think it looks so awesome. That all having been said, I was not watching last night. I start getting texts from my brother, and he's going, oh, my goodness, dude. I think Ryan Newman, who was the driver who crashed, just died. what happened. He said, it's the worst crash I've ever seen. So basically, if you didn't see this, he's leading the Daytona 500 on the last lap. Somebody gets loose, to use a racing term, I think. Basically spins him out. He goes up to the wall and gets rammed, comes back down, somehow gets lifted up into the air, and his car legitimately flies like head over heels. Think about, like, what would you call that for a car? So it'd be hood over fender? Or I don't know how.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
The car did flips in the air, then landed and caught fire as it went basically halfway down the track upside down. Thom, you're a racing guy. I mean, Tag, you're in. Like, help me out here. Basically, the car is going like a football on a kickoff end over end.
Yeah, he was leading the race, coming through the trioval for the checkered flag. Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin were behind him. There was some air that was taken off of his quarter panel. That's when you're going that fast, that's all that it takes. It doesn't even take contact to make a car get loose like that. And then at that point, because they've added more downforce on the front of the car and a higher spoiler, the car essentially turned into an airplane.
Right. So it stays on the track to go up and ram the wall. And then that's when it coming back down, it like kind of takes flight. So the crazy part to me, though, is when he flips in the air over and over. You don't see that very often, but it definitely happens. It's not going to happen probably in the next few races, but it could happen at some point.
No, but when you're at a 2.5-mile track like you are at Talladega or Daytona, there's always a possibility of what they call the big one,
right,
where half the field gets taken out because they're racing in close proximity. And then in situations like that, if there is contact made, like how I was just referencing, you'll see a car one or two maybe roll over, but never just continuously all the way down the track.
But what happened when he lands, so he's upside down, is he gets destroyed by a car, I'd have to imagine, even if it's braking, going like 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, slowing down to what, 130?
So imagine your car being upside down, like on its hood, in the middle of the road, and now getting hit at 150 on the driver's side of the car.
Yeah, just scraping down the track on fire. I mean, it's jarring.
Now, I had no idea if he was going to survive or not. The only reason I assumed, I was like, he's going to be fine, is because almost all the time these guys are. It had been since the Daytona 500, I would guess around 2000, 2001, when Dale Earnhardt died.
It was 2001.
So 19 years ago, almost to the day that he died, that someone in one of the major two or three has died. I know we had the Tony Stewart story a few years ago and some other things.
But that was a dirt track. That had nothing to do with NASCAR.
No, but I'm just saying in terms of deaths on the track, it hasn't happened in 19 years. And at this level, doesn't really happen. The cars are just too good. So I'm thinking he's going to be fine. But the scary thing, in case you didn't see this, Danny, I hate to even use this comp because it just sounds bad, but they put up these huge screens like they do when they bring out the truck to shoot the horse on the track, okay? This is what I was thinking of. Like, when a horse goes down and breaks its leg and they've got to, like, euthanize that thing right then and there, they put up, like, these huge screens.
Oh,
you know what
I'm talking about? Yeah, I do, yeah.
They basically did that last night. And that's where I started to think, oh, my bleep, this might have just happened. Where they put up, it's like the medical tent in football.
Right.
But they put up these massive things around this car so no one can see anything as this guy who's not walking away is loaded into an ambulance, and then we don't hear anything for 35 minutes.
That's why I haven't watched anything NASCAR-related in decades. I only hear about it because I happen to be scrolling Twitter, and I see EB tweeting about Ryan Newman. And I'm going, what? What the heck happened? Of course, then I see the, I almost called it a highlight, whatever you want to call it, the ridiculous crash.
The finish of the race.
The finish of the race. Thank you, Tommy. I am amazed that we don't see this more. It really is. To me, any race that occurs where you don't have one of these is, thank you, lucky stars, we move on to the next week. Just going that fast, that close, where milliseconds are all that define victory and a 20th place finish and somebody being thought of as, someone that's bad or has a bad team, et cetera. How nip and tuck it is and how competitive it is and how close these cars all together going 200 miles an hour. I'm amazed we don't have more of this. I really am.
I am too. And I will say that it was so odd watching some of the coverage after the fact because, like, Victory Circle was so muted. Denny Hamlin had just won the race. Nobody cared. It was very odd. This was Denny Hamlin after the fact.
It's a weird balance of, excitement and happiness for yourself. But obviously, someone's health and their family's, bigger than any win in any sport. So, we're just hoping for the best.
Steve O'Donnell, who spoke on behalf of NASCAR, almost an hour after all of this. People have been just waiting, waiting, waiting. There was like one report out there that he was alive and was fine, and everyone was hoping that that was correct. This was when he broke the news that he was in serious condition, but that he was expected to survive.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation and will provide more information as it becomes available.
Just a strange thing, Danny, because there are people at that race who are hoping to see a big crash. I really believe that. There are people that go and they go, it'd be cool if we saw a huge crash or like a car flip over tonight. There's a guy in there. There's a human being in there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course.
Watching some of the videos from the crowd, Washington Post tweeted one out today. There's some other places that have some. But right away, it automatically becomes not, wow, that was cool, that was amazing. Go get him. Help this guy. Somebody do something. There is a fear that sets in. But the entire race you're watching, and yeah, you want to see racing, you want to see someone win, but I really believe that is a sport that benefits from the crashes. I think that that's part of why people are enamored with it, no?
I mean, I couldn't speak to fans at large, but the risk certainly adds to the tension and adds to the excitement for people. I mean, it's the same thing when you watch an NFL game. These 300-pound guys running 4.6s colliding with each other, sometimes people get hurt. That's inevitable. You know about the stakes, and that's part of what makes it appeal, makes it appealing, rather, you know, when you have that kind of violence inherent in the sport. So, you know, I couldn't speak to everybody that is buying a ticket hoping that they see somebody wreck, but there's an element that's in the back of your mind, is that's a possibility, which raises the intensity for you.
In the back of a lot of people's minds for the last month is that we might not see Drew Brees play quarterback again for the Saints. He made his decision today. We will tell you what Brees has decided, what it means for the Saints and the rest of the NFC. Plus, Jordan Reed's future very much in doubt at this point. Sounds like the Redskins have made their decision on him. Next on Grant and Danny.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Before the stretch run and we hit the leftovers, we're pleased right now to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the show one of the defenders who made this past weekend's win possible. He was acquired via trade on Friday, took a red eye to get to the game Saturday, and then had a pair of sacks for the Defenders Saturday afternoon as their defense pitched a shutout. Anthony Johnson is with us. Anthony, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you for having me, Grant and Danny. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, dude. So let's start with this. You're in L.A. You get traded. You're the captain of that team defensively.
Yeah.
Something weird happens. I can't quite understand where after one game they fire their coordinator. You're mad about it. I don't know if you make a demand to get out or what you say. And then the Defenders benefit because they bring you in and you've already had two sacks. Take us through that weird last week or so.
Man, I kid you not, man. Just a crazy week of football in general. You know, pretty much started the week off. We didn't do what we wanted to do as a team with L.A. So I went 0-1 as a team. And then after that, man, you know, things just kind of went AWOL. You know, the head coach made a couple of decisions I wasn't fond of as a player and as a leader of that team. You know, a lot of decisions that brought through me, and I just wasn't fond of them. So, you know, I just handled business professionally, man. You know, asked them, you know, either trade or release me so I can go ahead and play for a team with some structure. And just blessed that Coach Pep Hamilton brought me in, man, to the D.C. Defenders to go ahead and help this team win, you know. So I pretty much got on the flight at on Friday, and I didn't land in D.C. until Saturday morning. So about 3 in the morning, that was when I actually went to bed, 3:45. I had to wake up at 7:30 to learn some plays in the playbook, and the game started at 2, man. So it's been a little crazy for me these past couple of days, but I'm honored to be in D.C., man. Thankful.
So that's what I wanted to ask you about, Anthony. That's unbelievable. I mean, you had no time to learn anything. I mean, I don't care how smart somebody is. You got to figure out which way to line up and what all the calls mean. You had no time to do that. What was that process like?
It was a crazy process, man. I mean, you know, just getting on the plane, man, and honestly not knowing what to expect. You know, coming in with some new guys, they already have their camaraderie. But like I say, man, I'm one of those guys that could get in where I fit in, you know what I mean? So, it was crazy. You know, the coaches, they woke me up early at about 7:30, 8 in the morning to try to get some plays in. And I was able to go out there and help my team get a W.
Anthony Johnson, you may remember from his days at LSU, has played in the NFL pretty substantially compared to a lot of his XFL teammates. 7 games with the Dolphins, 4 with the Patriots, 7 with the Jets in 2016, and then you finished up with the Colts. I mean, look, yes, I know the XFL doesn't really think of itself as a feeder league, but are you looking at this at 27 years old as maybe a chance to get back to the league? Why don't you think you're there now? Because you can play, man. It's pretty obvious, man, from watching you.
Most definitely, man. At the end of the day, the game of football is it's an honor to play, and I appreciate playing on whatever level I'm thankful, you know, I'm able to play it. But me personally, man, if the XFL is here for the next 20 to 25 years, I want to be a part of it, man. It's a great league. You can already see how this league operates. It gives the guys the opportunity to not only be themselves, but to build their brand, you know what I mean? So XFL has something great going on. If I do get opportunities, guaranteed opportunities, I wouldn't mind taking that opportunity, man, on the next level in the NFL. But at the end of the day, like I said, man, these guys here at the XFL, Vince McMahon, those guys have made something special here, and hopefully it keeps going for the years to come.
To your point, you did a sideline interview that went viral talking about your red-eye flight and whether or not it's okay to recline the seat on you or not, which I thought was funny. But the access, you know, the sideline reporters that are talking to you guys in game, on the field, there is a personality element of this that way exceeds the NFL. Your thoughts on that? And then also the quality of play. Has it been what you expected, better, worse? What would you say so far?
I'll tell you this, man. And being one of the guys, being one of the bigger personalities in the league, just to be able to be myself and not deal with any politics has been a blessing, man. At the end of the day, the XFL, like I said, gives us the opportunity to do that. And for the fans to have the access that they have as well, to see guys not only be themselves, but they can see guys talk after they get an interception. They can see a guy talk after a touchdown. You want to see those emotions right there. So I think the XFL is winning off of that. Like, for instance, the NFL ESPN reposted my video on their page from the interview. You know what I mean? So the NFL knows that the XFL has something special going on. And I just think that, you know, they're doing a great league, doing a great thing with that. As far as the play, I mean, the guys are competitive, man. You have a lot of young guys who just got out of training camps and mini camps this past year with the league. And you got guys like myself, man, who've been around a little bit and know how to be a professional and just play the game the right way. So that's why I see TV ratings are going to go up a little bit. And it's been exciting. It's an exciting brand of football, man.
Anthony, the thing that you touched on, I think is just so amazing, is, you know, with playing in the NFL, you got OTAs, you got mini camps, you got training camps, you got offseason workouts, you got, you know, quarterbacks flying their receivers to their hometowns to throw and stuff. You guys got thrown together. Talking about this league, it seems like not as much practice time, and you're still getting some pretty good play, it seems like. How tough is that in terms of challenges to overcome?
It goes to show you that the players determine themselves. Now, you have a lot of intelligent guys that are not just jocks, man, because it takes strenuous amounts of hours in the film room and on the practice field to get us ready and get us prepared for a professional game, man, to go out there and put something on the field that people would enjoy and love. So credit goes to us, man, and I tell you, and to these coaches for preparing us, man, and getting us ready, because I kid you not, OTAs in the NFL last 3-4 months. Training camp lasts 2 months. But when you get here to the XFL, we only had 2 weeks to prepare for everything, you know. So it's been a crazy ride, man. But I appreciate the love and the respect we're getting from everybody, because they're loving the product we're putting on the field.
I got an idea here before we let you go, Anthony.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, before you guys play Sunday again, you're on the road. But what about if we get you on Friday, and you take some calls from people, and they suggest sack dances, and you do the best. Whatever the best sack dance is, you do that sack dance this weekend.
I'm all in. So make sure, whenever you call the show, You got to have your God doggone dance in mind. So make sure y'all God doggone make some good suggestions for me so I can do what I got to do out there for y'all. Now, you hear me, DC? But yeah, man, I'm down. Y'all just get with the team, and I'll be glad to join y'all again, Dan.
Awesome. All right, so we will. We will do that. We'll line it up. Anthony, thank you. Congrats on the trade and the huge performance.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you. How about getting off the plane?
It's amazing.
Red eye, going straight to the stadium, not knowing the defense. Having two sacks, your defense pitches a shutout. Not too shabby for him. The defenders are 2-0. Best team in the league so far. Pretty exciting.
Them and Houston, neck and neck. Quarterback play and defense, I think, is the key to this thing right now.
Feels like. And that's the key probably at any level, right? Your thoughts on Jordan Reed finding out over the weekend? It sounds like while the Redskins do think that he will be cleared from concussion protocol, which he hasn't been yet, when that happens, they're just going to waive him.
It's been, what, 6-7 months now since that hit?
August.
He's still not out there? Gosh, it just tells you how scary this thing is. But, yeah, it seems to be a matter of time. It's prudent. It's good for everybody, I think, including Reed.
Tomorrow I want to talk about the San Francisco Giants telling Aubrey Huff, who says crazy things on social media, that he's not invited back to their 10-year reunion of their 2010 World Series championship, which he was the MVP of that team.
Yeah, it's a big party, but you're not invited because you got weird.
Would love to talk about that. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks so much for listening. You can go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com for any content or audio you may have missed.
Grant, Brendan, Tom, and CDDCW is up next year. We really appreciate everybody checking out the show today. How one has now ended.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.